Father, we give you praise, we give you glory, we come to you with thanking you and that you're so wonderful, you're so special, and you are our counselor, you are our guide, you are our liberator, you are our director, you are our peacemaker, you are our joy forevermore. And Father, what you have is so wonderful. And Father, this day we pray that you'd move mightily this day. We pray that you'd open up the windows of heaven. Father, I pray that you'd pour out a spirit here that's never even been spoken of before. I pray that you'd move mightily upon this service, Father God, that this might be actually the axis of all the services. Father, I pray that your power, anointing, strength, glorious intuition from heaven would be ignited, explosive here. And Father, we just give you praise, we give you glory. Father, I feel so inadequate, but I know that you do want have a message. And I pray that you speak this day and bring it very clearly in the wonderful name of Jesus. The Bible plainly says, can two walk together unless they agree? Heavenly Father, spot your time. I don't really, but that's what you want. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Can two walk together unless they agree? You know, there's a walk that many have in this life. And there's many people today, if you'd ask them where they're headed, they're headed down here, but most all the religious ones are tied in with some fellowship, some denomination. And that's become their real stronghold. That's their real goal in life. Those that are truly dedicated, those that really in with what they say, in with you, Lord, but they're actually walking in a realm of this world. For two are together, for two shall agree as touching anything, it shall be done. But they don't understand that the Bible says we have to agree when we come together. We got to be in one spirit, one likeness, one cause, one direction, one heart. And that can only be achieved as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ, the power, the atonement of sin, which our Savior did upon that cruel cross that he paid in full, that we all might live forever and ever and ever, which we're going to live forever and ever and ever, but there's a destiny that where we're going to live. There's a separation point for all men, all women, all creation. There's a separation point. It's even heaven. It's either heaven or hell. And the latter is not going to be a good place. It's a place for the unbelievers. It's the place for the unachievers, for the homosexuals, for those who won't go God's way. It's for those who have forgotten God. It's for the enemy himself, Lucifer. But Father, you know that you've got a place for heaven. There's a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And your word says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added. We see that many, many people have lost their first love. Many people have, when they accepted Jesus, that wonderful Savior, that's what's plagued the world, because many people have felt that great love when they first accepted Jesus. And that was just to be the starting point. But the world, the people of the world, made that to be the achievement. That was the starting point for the Spirit of God to become alive in the hearts of your people. And through that, there's been a lot of confusion. There's been a lot of schisms. There's been a lot of problems because there's no agreement basically on what all men and all women, all people, denomination don't even have the same thoughts. They don't have the same goals. They don't have the same intake about what God is himself. But God is calling forth a peculiar people, a zealous people, a righteous people, a people without blemish, a people that have a love, that have joy, that have the good things of God. And the Father says that there's only one way that can happen. Oh, hallelujah, through the Spirit of God. It takes the Spirit of God, which Jesus plainly said is needful, that if when I leave, I shall send forth the Comforter, and the Comforter shall reprove the world of sin and lift up my name. And we see there's hard times that's coming, and people have not found out the Comforter is what we need. The Comforter is not just programs. There's not just having fun days, not going on trips throughout all places of the world, having all these great things that men and women do that are even Christian. But the main thing is, if our heart is overcoming and our cup runs over, we need this cup of our spirit to be running over continually. By the continuance, it needs to be that overflow that runs daily. We're like an overflowing artesian well, that we flow continuous. We flow. The love of God flows through us, and the Spirit of God is on us in a very special way. And this is the way that was supposed to be. It was supposed to be that we'd be so on fire that we would have a joy of the Lord. We would have so much Spirit in us that people could not stand us. They would have to come and ask us what we have. And that's what it should be in our hearts, that we're so full of your love, we're so full of your power, we're so full of your anointing, that we, the people round about us, would see Jesus. They would see what the Bible was talking about. Those hearts full of heavy laden would come, and they'd seek this because they know that they have not found the answer. And many have not found the answer. As Jonah left, he went on his way to go where he was supposed to go, to Nineveh, but he didn't. He went and he pursued from the face of the Lord. And that's why many of us in our lives as Christians, we start in the Lord, but pretty soon we're going backwards. We're going to another place. We're actually running from the Spirit of God. We've got the name of the Lord in our head, and like Jonah did, but we're not doing, obeying the Spirit of God. We're not out there at Nineveh. We're out someplace else. We find ourselves in the bottom of the ocean. We find ourselves being plagued and tormented by the powers of the evil one, because he has us down in a place that we can't even see to get up. We're so down, we're in the bottom of the pit. We're down the bottom where no one can reach us, only God himself. And we find ourselves helpless in the day that we're living. It's like a drowning man. We find ourselves, but if the water doesn't take his life, he has, but he puts him down under to where he's no more power, and he's defeated because he's in a prison of rotten conditions. He's in a prison of unrighteousness. He's finding himself in a prison. He's supposed to be a Christian and have the answers, and yet he has no answers. He doesn't even know what's going to happen to him. And we need to realize that the Spirit of God's here to make you alive. The Spirit of God's here to strengthen you. The God's here, those out there today that you find yourself in this kind of condition, as Jonah was off there in the ocean, and the sea weeds were around Jonah. And I don't know how God allowed Jonah to live, but God somehow threw that fish. Jonah had enough oxygen and lived for 3 days. We know that it's a miracle. And sometimes ourselves, God makes miracles even keeping us through this land as far as we're going. Every day of our life, we should see miracles. We should see gigantic blessings. We should see favors from God. We should do work as his righteous laborer. We should work wholly for him. We should work even as a person that's living a livelihood, working in the labor of this world. But even that, you can give your heart totally to the Lord Jesus Christ. I went through it, and I know that's achievable, that if we'll give God our heart, even as a workman, whatever we trade we're in, that we can be an overcomer from the Lord Jesus Christ, and we can have his spirit within our life day by day, and we can be an effectual fervent prayer, that we can lead that effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man daily in our occupations, wherever we are, that we might be that light that would shine to dark world, to a dark countenance. People, so many people are so dark they can't even understand the darkness. They can't comprehend the light. It's been in darkness so long that the light comes, it blinds them, and through that they don't even want to go back to righteousness. They find themselves alone. They find themselves sheltered in the pits of really of long suffering that's there, where they suffer for not the right cause. God wants us to suffer for righteousness. He didn't want us to suffer at living at such a terrible life that we're out here plagued with sins of repentance. We have things in our heart, chemicals that's not suitable for our body. We have taken wrong things in our mouth, and that through that intoxication has put us down, that our mind's a little bit warped. Our mind, it has an evil spirit within our mind because of the spirits that we have drank. The things that intoxicate us have a tendency, no, just to intoxicate us, but it has a way of drawing off the true value of God, and we cannot do both. You've got to be come out from among them. You must be separate, said the Lord. The Bible says that no drunkard is going to be enter into heaven, and that's what we're plagued in America. They're everybody's producing more and more and more hard liquor, and the soft liquor, whatever the liquor is, but the sting is in it. People can take a couple beers, and they say, well, it's okay, it's not going to hurt me, but it will hurt you, sir, because I know it'll kill your spirit. word. And I know God's one thing has showed me that things that we do kill the spirits within us. And when you kill the spirit within you, you're just playing games and you're not where you should be with God. And you find yourself tossed around as that fish down the bottom of the ocean. And you couldn't tell, Jonah could not tell where he's at. It was dark down there. And that's where we are. We don't know where we are. It's dark around us. We're in confusion. We're in unbelief. And we don't know what we're going to do. We know that we hear, and our church doesn't really have the answer. We go there and warm the pew Sunday after Sunday, and we make sure we give our tithes to our beloved pastor. We make sure that he gets all the benefits he needs. Make sure that he gets all the rest that he needs. We make sure that he gets to go all the places he's supposed to go besides pastorness. And all these things are benefits that they get. But a lot of God's people find themselves in a bondage in the bottom of the sea. They find themselves unable to come up over their head. They cannot see victory. They cannot see. They're down in desperation. They're down in a place of hard living. And when there's failures, when they're seeing failures day by day, and they're pretty soon they're told, well, that's what it's supposed to be. A Christian, you're supposed to just walk that hardship road. But God says, come out from among them, be separate, said the Lord, and I'll be a father in you. And you can't tell me that's a father, because God wants to take care of it. He wants to provide for you. He wants to keep you. He wants to uplift you. He wants to make a face shine upon you, be gracious unto you, and heal your body, give you that healing strength. And when you have the love of God within you, you don't even need healing, because the love of God heals you automatically. We need the love of God shining in our lives. We need the church of God to be so brilliant of love that there is no way that they would even question your church. They will not question what you say, because the love of God would proceed out of that being. The love of God would pursue out of thy fingers. And when you touch the unsaved, it's received Jesus. When you touch the sick, they'd be healed. When you touch the lunatic, he'd be delivered. When you touch the unrighteous, they'd be holy. And we need that in our prosperity. And there's an only prosperity living there is in God. It's not through a denomination. It's not through an access of many teaching, but it's through the power of God. It's the evidence of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost is our leader. He is never lost. He is here to save you. He's here to help you. He's here to minister to you. He's here to give you that love, that joy, that peace, that settledness in your soul that you don't know what to say. But if you'll pray through the Spirit, you'll receive special attention as a child would go to his master. Just think about it. You go to the Holy Ghost. He teaches you as a child, as an individual. He don't just say, oh, you're just like a 1,000, 10,000 church members. No, he takes you individually. He takes you. I know this to my heart. He took me as nobody. He says, I'll be with you. I'll teach you. And that's what the church needs today. They need that gentle touch of the Savior, Jesus. And Jesus says, needful that I go away. So when Jesus went away, he sent, which is not a substitute, but it was that the same Spirit that lifted up Jesus is in us also. In that Spirit that we have to lift us up, most of our places have kicked him out. We've caused him to go down the road. We said we don't want him in our church. We don't want that tongue talking. Those we don't want that. We don't want any of that. But that's what will save you, sir. That's what will save you, madam. That's what will keep you delivered. That's what will keep you free. That's the one that will counsel with you. That's the one that will guide you. That's the one that will deliver you. And when you put him off as just a thing, just think how you treat him. He's God himself. That's God. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, they're in one. Hallelujah. And any time you treat him that way, you're cutting off your lifeline from heaven. It's cutting off the strength. Your prayers will not be answered. Your prayers will be hindered. And your children and your families are going to get in trouble. They're going to have diseases. They're going to have plagues. And they're going to have heartaches. And you'll not be able to help them because you're going the wrong way, sir. You're going on the wrong way. You should be the head of your family. And you should put the Holy Ghost as your model. And if you'll do that, you'll have some success in life. You'll find those failures no longer failures, but you'll see victories. You'll see blessings coming forth. You'll see people touched, and you'll see your heart. You'll know this, God, because you'll see your heart change. And there's hindrances in these lives that comes by the elements of this life. And that sin has a stain upon this world. Like right now, I might have a cough, but that's from the stain of this world. It's from the plagues that God put upon this world when they, at the very beginning, these plagues. But God wants to set God's people free. He wants to bring deliverance to you. And sometimes even God's saints have to go through these things because it would not be fair for you to live above what God calls His people to live under too. You understand what I'm saying? God wants us to walk in whatever comes our way, being on fire for God. Nothing shall be able to move us. Nothing shall be able to separate us from the love of God. And with that joy, will give you as a mighty counsel. It'll give you as a mighty blessing. And when the enemy comes your way, it says, no evil shall fall thee, nor plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. Only with thine eyes shall behold and see the ward of the wicked. That's for you, gentlemen. That's for you, less sisters. That's for you. No evil shall fall thee, nor plague come nigh unto thy dwelling. Only with thine eyes shall I behold and see the ward of the wicked. And he shall give us angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways, and they shall bear thee up in their hand, lest thou even dash thy foot against a stone. The Lord's been showing me that we have a powerless people in society. You have to get someone like it's a well evangelist before God will even move, because people won't even, they don't even think about if it's a commoner, they won't even come. Someone a big name, they'll come out because they think, well, he's got an in with God, which he should have. Which he has to have. But what God said, he would like all his church to have that same end constantly. There would be no biggies. It'd be everybody would be glorious. All Christians would lay hands on the sick and they should recover as God moves upon them. This is not, I'm not saying all will, but God has a call that will. Because most men won't respond. And that's how these biggies have got where they are. Because they've responded. And they're doing the right thing. But what I'm saying, want to get in also, that God wants to set the captive free. He wants to set that little one on fire. He wants to set that nobody to the love of God. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, he doesn't use the mighty. He uses the lowly. He uses that lowly one. And God lifts up that one that's without no strength. He will give his strength to the little one. He will give that one that seeks him. If you seek God, God will surely be found in you. And the Spirit of God is wonderful. The Spirit of God is what you need. The Spirit of God is God's Spirit from heaven. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish. And the world is perishing. We're perishing. He said he came to his own, and his own received him not, but to many received him, then he gave power to become the sons of God. He came to his own, the own received him not. But to many has received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. God's given us favor against the elements of sin. I feel the powers of sin here today also. It's heavy duty. We're living that last days when Jesus is coming very soon. And if Christian out there, you just need to hold on a little longer, because if you'll just hold on, Jesus is going to come back and take you to a wonderful place. He's going to take you to that heavenly home that's going to be on without any pain, no sickness, no sorrow, no corruption. It'll all be blessed. No policemen, no doctors, no undertakers, no nothing that we fear is not going to be there. No unbelief. It's going to be just wonderful. But those who miss it, it's going to be a tragedy. Unless we make some changes, many people are going to be the tragedy. The Bible says, wide is the gate and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. The Bible predicts in the last days that many shall be called and few shall be chosen. I really truly believe that we're living in the last hour. We're living the last few minutes. And God's coming back very soon. He's coming through the clouds of glory. The Holy Ghost is what we all need. We need His power. We need His love. We need His mighty input on life itself. We don't know what's going to be in tomorrow, but He does. We don't know how to even talk to someone, but He knows how. We don't know how to even much more than put on our clothes. Many of us don't even know how to do that. But He knows all things. And He will be your provider. He will be your protector. He will be your mighty counselor.
He will be your mighty friend, and He will uplift the love of God. He will lift up the name of Jesus. You don't have to worry about Jesus, because the Holy Ghost will automatically, He will not prefer Himself. He prefers to lift up Jesus. He prefers to lift up righteousness. He prefers to defend His Heavenly Father. He prefers to help His beloved. He will even humble Himself to help us. He humbles Himself and comes to lowly, because many times where He's at and sometimes where the people are at, He has to humble Himself mightily just to get in them, because so much unbelief, sir, and they're talking so ugly about Him. And it's just wonderful what He's went and how He can go through what He's done and still be your champion, still be your blessing, be your healer, your deliverer. And the Holy Ghost is here to help you. The Holy Ghost is here to deliver you this night and set you free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Call upon Him and He will answer. God will answer and show you great and mighty things that you know not. The trouble is, we're calling to the wrong people. Our prayers are not going up very high. We're praying in a mist. And many of us, our prayers are not valued. God values His saints' prayers. And that's what we were put for on this earth, that we could deliver prayers, that our Heavenly Father would value them, and through those prayers, things would change, the elements would change, because of the effect of an effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. But we don't see that. We see it in ourselves. We see it as an ugly thing that's stained, and is a stain upon us as God's people. We feel that we're too big, we're too mighty, that we have to write great books of how to outdo the Word of God. We have to do great sermons. We have to try to explain the Word of God away. But God says we don't have to. If you just take the Word and eat it, and He will bless you. We have seminaries that put people in education. They take a little Word of the God, and they take a whole hour and digest it, where there's nothing left. No power. The power is all, it's like soup. They've taken one pea of soup, put it in a gallon of water. Pretty soon there's no pea of soup in that gallon of water. It's just water. It's water. It's watered down. And that's what our Word is. It's become watered down. Our Word is no power. There's Word is no anointing. The Word will set you free. But I guarantee you, the Word of God in the United States is getting very lean, without power. God's here to deliver you. God's here to whatever comes your way to stand, having done all to stand. I see so many weak, lean Christians. They say, well, what about this? Well, the Bible says, having done all to stand. It means stand, being strong, Lord. Be ye strong in the Lord, and the power of His might. Put ye on the whole armor of God, that ye might be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against powers, against rulers of darkness. That's what we're coming against. But we've got, having done all to stand, and you can stand. God will help you stand, and God before you, who can be against you? Greater is He that's within you, He that's within the world. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. God's given you power over death, grave, and hell. God's given you victory over all these things. Be sadness to the world. God wants you to be an achiever in life. God wants you to be an achiever and being victorious in your life, in your walk. You don't have to be like the world that's walking toward out to the day of doom. You can be walking today and toward heaven. It's a climb. It's a climb. It's a climb. You must look up to heaven. I will lift my eyes to the hills. Whence come my help? For my help comes from the Lord. Hallelujah. If anything, it's shame on us. We're lifting to anything but the Lord. The Lord is our strength. The Lord is my light. The Lord is my way maker. The Lord is my keeper. We should look to Him constantly. I will look for Him. I will keep my mind stayed upon Him. Nothing shall be able to take and detour my thoughts from me. I will pray in the Lord. I will call upon the Lord, and He will hear my prayers and keep me through the times of struggle. He will perform. No good thing will He withhold from them that walk upright before Him. We need to be walking perfection. We must walk in leadership. And you know, Ephesians, the 4th chapter, he talks about that we must walk in perfection. I know the church don't like to hear this, but God says we must walk out from among them. We might be walk in perfection, that we might what agree would have the temple of God with idols. For ye are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell with them. I will walk with them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Therefore come out from among them. Be ye separate, said the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I shall receive you, and I shall sustain thee, and I shall put my counsel upon thee, and I shall deliver thee, and I shall keep thee from the hour of troubles that come upon this earth, and I shall save you at that hour, that thou will not be afraid when the darkness comes upon this land, because I shall remove thee at that hour, and I shall keep thee. Be not afraid, my church, be not afraid, for my eyes are open to the righteous, and my ears are open to the cries. I will not leave thee homeless. I will not leave thee as a child from the parents, for I shall be with thee, and I shall comfort thee. But I say many of my children need to be weaned. They need to be weaned. They're on not solid food. Many, many, many are hearing things that are not even going to help them. It's going to trouble them. My children need to be weaned this day on the power of the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost will set you free. We're more than conquerors through Him which loves you. Bible says, thou to Him is able to keep you from falling, present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy. The verse just ahead of that talks about praying in the Spirit, building up yourself in the most holy faith. The Spirit of God bids that. He will keep you from falling, present you faultless before His presence with exceeding joy, a joy unspeakable, full of glory. He's here to lavish you with gifts of what you need. We don't need some of these gifts of just like silver buckles and all that. We'll get that in heaven. What we need now is the power of God in our innermost being. What the diet of the Lord is what we need. We don't need all these soft living. We don't need a new house. We don't need a new car. But what we need is the power of God. We don't need having exotic food. We need the heart of God. We don't need to take a trip. We need to have the heart of God. We don't need to climb Mount Everest. We need to have the heart of God. We don't need to win over in Las Vegas. We need to have the heart of God. We need to separate those things in this world. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. Any man love the world, but the love of the Father is not in him. The world passed away, and the lust thereof, but he knew the will of God abided forever. Hallelujah! God's come out from, he's saying, come out from among them, be separate, and I shall receive you. How much clearer does our God have to speak? He says, come out, my people, come out. In Revelation, the 18th chapter, he says, he's praying, saying there, come out from Babylon, my people. And I believe that maybe that's literally speaking America. I believe America has their chances. And I believe there's going to be some storms in America very shortly that's going to touch the hearts of God's people. Maybe it'll shake in them to get a grip on God before it's too late. Whatever it takes to get people's hearts right, God wants to help you. Wants to make sure you don't miss out on that heavenly home. But it's very close that time. We must think what we're doing. We must call upon God. We must pray without ceasing. We must have faith in the living God. With the able, we might settle in our hearts that I'm not going to leave my God. My God's wonderful. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Father, I pray for a supernatural miracle on your people this day. I pray that your people would learn to repent. But more than that, I pray that they would take a turnabout face and get on the road to holiness. Get off of that old road that's taking you down to a desperation of troubles, taking you down a careless pathway that has no way out. It has no helps. And it has a lot of allurement that lures people off of that right pathway. And that's what's happened to America right now. Every place they go, they see billboards. Come in here. Have fun. And America is God's people are buying this up. Have fun. Come down here to Hobby Horse Junction. And you can have a play date out here. Bring your whole church down and you can have it yourself. Satan says, come on down, come on down. You're going to have fun. But I'll guarantee you, God says, separate yourself. Call upon me, seek me. Spend time alone if you have to. Search the word. And then you'll find out for eternal salvation. We don't really call upon God. We don't study Him. We don't look to Him. We don't speak to Him. And then we find ourselves grasping and life's cares, and when we find ourselves without hope, we find that last hour of our life that we'll say, what have I done with my life? I've went my whole life, and now life is over, and I'm going to meet eternity. This is to all of us. At that second, life's going to be stopped, all of us. It's appointed unto man once to die, women also, then comes the judgment. So we're all, there's an appointment. We see it all through life. There's people that die every day of the year. But there's also a day that God's coming back. And I believe that coming back day is closer than many of them will often live because God's coming that soon. He's coming back. He's coming back. He's coming. Don't you see him? He's coming. He's coming through the clouds of glory. Look up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Father, I just pray for a mighty blessing upon your people this day. I praise you and I thank you what you've done this day. I pray to open the hearts of your people. Let them receive Jesus today. Let them receive atonement for the blessings forevermore. Well, thank you in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, know that this message, I don't need to add nothing. I just give it to you this day in the wonderful name of Jesus. God bless you, dear people. I pray that you'll achieve something out of this word. Well, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.